hear about singing, well, not every time, but I like to be reminded that after the Last Supper, the Lord Jesus Christ sang. What a voice he must have had. Wouldn't it have been lovely to hear him sing? Oh, anyway, the children of God hear a joyful sound and they sing. They sing because of who the Lord Jesus Christ is and redemption accomplished. It's the glorious gospel we have to proclaim, but it's a serious gospel we have to proclaim. And I'd like us to turn to one of the most extraordinary passages in all of the scriptures, and I've said that about most passages I've been studying, but John chapter 5 is a remarkable passage of scripture, and it's brought to us by the Holy Spirit on account of some Jews who were offended that the Lord Jesus Christ came and displayed his absolute sovereignty in choosing one man out of a great multitude of lame and crippled and withered men. And he came to one particular man and he said, I'll have you. And he healed that man. And that man went from being outside of the family of God and brought into the temple. And the Lord met him in the temple. And the Lord Jesus Christ had healed that man on the Sabbath, and the Lord particularly and specifically comes to the Jews to undo all of their notions of who God is and all of their notions of what their religion was all about. He came in his first visit to Jerusalem and said, this temple is my temple. This is my Father's house. He's saying, it's my house. And I make the rules around here, which is why he made that cord of whips and drove out all the money changers and the cattle and others with them. And they said, well, where did he get this authority from? He gets his authority directly from God. And he comes. He comes in John chapter 4 and he reminds us that the Jews' notion of what Israel was and who the elect children of God are not restricted to that particular nation Israel. He went to a Gentile village. In fact, he went to the lowest of the low. He went to a Samaritan village and he found the lowest of the low in the Samaritan village. I love that he comes to save sinners. I hope you like the fact that he comes to save sinners. And in that place, in that village, he found this woman who'd been married 5 times and was now living with another man. He undoes their notions. And of course, in the healing of this man in John chapter 5, Lord Jesus Christ displays his glory, his sovereignty in electing love, and the particularity of that and the power of that when he says to this man, just rise. You rise. And this man was given a life and given a creation that he didn't have before. You rise and you take up your bed and walk. And the Jews never once in this passage of scripture mentioned the fact that this man was healed. The only thing that ever took their attention was the fact that this was done on the Sabbath. So let's begin in verse 16 of John chapter 5. He says, and therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. So here we have the first mention in John's gospel of the fact that the desire in the hearts of religious people is to murder God in every way possible. And the Lord Jesus is caused by their hatred to give us one of the most remarkable passages in all of Scripture. And he begins when they are offended about him claiming to be who he is. He just gives them more of who he is. And John's Gospel, John chapter 5, is just remarkable in this. Listen to what he goes on to say to them. He says, my Father. This is his answer to them. He says, my Father works. And I'm working. We, the triune God, don't need to rest on a Sabbath. We stopped from our work in Genesis on the Sabbath. The Sabbath was made for man. Verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because not only had he broken the Sabbath, but he'd also said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. So one of the great things about this, isn't it, is that the Lord Jesus Christ, at the very beginning of this persecution, when they're attempting to slay him, and they'll continue through the rest of John's gospel, He wants to make sure that they know exactly who they're slaying. He knew the end from the beginning. He had no doubt about what these men were going to do. Making himself equal with God. And then, verse 19, then Jesus answered and said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do, and for what things soever that he does, he doeth. These also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loves the Son, he loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that he that himself doeth. And he will show him greater things, greater works than these, that you may marvel. For, or because, as the Father raises up the dead and quickens and gives them life, even so the Son quickeneth, gives life to whom he will. So new birth, life from God, is in the will of God. So John's Gospel makes it absolutely abundantly clear that anyone who thinks that salvation has got anything to do with the ridiculous notion of the free will of man doesn't know who God is and doesn't know who themselves are. They are just denying the Gospel. He quickeneth whom he will. That's what the Scriptures say. That's what he says to these people who thought that by their own will and their own worth and their own works that they were in right relationship with God. Verse 22, for the Father judges no man, but has committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honour the Son, even as they honour the Father. He that honoureth not the Son, honoureth not the Father which has sent him. And this is the verse that I wanted us to spend some time looking at today. Just let's read it together. Verse 24, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Well, let's read these next few verses so that we understand what all this is in the context. Verily, verily, verse 25, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father has life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. We might stop there for want of time. Now, I want us to remember that the Lord Jesus Christ is here talking to some people who thought they already were saved, and they had evidence of their salvation, these people. They thought that because they were the descendants of Abraham and that they were obedient to the law, as they thought, that they thought that because they lived moral lives and they were separated from this evil world, they thought they were saved. And everyone in Jerusalem would have thought the same. And if you'd seen these people and you'd met these people, you would be amazed. You would be humbled by your lack of piety compared to their great wisdom and knowledge and all the things they do. You see, these men presumed that they were saved. And once again, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his coming, he reveals the hearts of men. He reveals God, but he reveals what's in men, and he particularly reveals what's in religious men. You see, in their hearts was a hatred of God when they thought they were worshipping him. That was what was in their hearts. And all this was exposed by an act of kindness, by an act of love, by an act of mercy. The revelation of the mercy and the love and the sovereignty of God stirs up in these religious people an enmity against God. As the psalmist in Psalm 109 says, for my love, they are mine adversaries. For my love they are my adversaries, and fought against me without a cause. The cause was not in the Lord Jesus Christ ever. So I want us to contemplate this verse 24 in light of what we've just read, and I want us to think about how this remarkable word, if we translated the Greek word which is used in verse 24, condemnation, and in verse 27, judgment, and in verse 29, damnation. If you just took the Greek letters and wrote them out and said them, you would have the word crisis. Crisis. Meeting God, meeting the Lord Jesus Christ, and having him speak and having him revealed is a crisis. It's a crisis. It is so serious. It is so serious. So let's go back to our verse that I want us to look at. I want us to look at it in two parts, because in verse 24 there's remarkable promises from God and remarkable blessings. He says, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me," if you hear and you believe God the Father in sending his Son, you have everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into that crisis that's spoken of, but is passed from death to life. It's wonderful, isn't it? The passage of life for human beings is a passage from life to death. The passage of human beings, of all of God's children in the gospel, is a passage from death to life. Death to life. Okay, so let's go back and have a look at this verse in a bit more detail. The Lord Jesus Christ uses that word, "Verily, verily, truly, truly, most assuredly, I say unto you," most solemnly. These are all of the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every word of Scripture is precious and every word of Scripture is true. But when the Lord Jesus Christ uses this expression, and as he does in John's Gospel 25 times, it's something that you need to take careful note of. We have to take careful note of everything he says, but this is something that he draws our attention to. We do well to treat these words with utmost seriousness. In John 3, he says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Truly, truly is about seeing the kingdom of God. Verse 5, it says, "You verily, verily, you cannot enter the kingdom of God." Verse 51 of John 8, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death." I'm interested in that. I'm interested in what he's saying when he says truly, truly. When God Almighty in human flesh says truly, truly, we do well to pay close attention. "Verily, verily, I say unto you." I say unto you. I want us to be reminded that this hearing and this believing and these gifts in the light of verse 22-23 are about honouring the Son and honouring the Father who sent him. This verse has something to declare about honouring the Son of God. And this verse says something about hearing. Hearing. Now, you're all involved in hearing right now, aren't you? Hearing. "I say unto you, he that heareth my words," heareth the word that he speaks. You see, in the matter of eternal life, in the matter of escaping the crisis and that damnation, Only one word, only one person's words matter at all. And it doesn't matter what religion has said, it doesn't matter what confessions and creeds and statements of faith say. The only thing that matters is I say unto you. I say unto you. Only the words of Christ will comfort a sinner. On that great day, only his words will be the ones that matter. Welcome, good and faithful servant, he says to all of his own. All of the pillars of our salvation are in the I say unto you. And of course, as we saw earlier, the Lord Jesus Christ has declared himself to be God in the most remarkable ways before these people who you want to make, they say, you make yourself equal with God. He didn't have to make himself equal with God. He was always equal with God. This was God in human flesh. If you've seen me, he said to Philip, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The fullness of the deity dwelt in this man who was speaking these words. He's saying, I'm speaking to you now. You have in your hearts a plan to murder me. I'm speaking to you now, and the evidence of my deity, the evidence of who I really am, is here before you. There's this man healed. There's this man walking, walking, walking. I heal and I operate as God. There is obviously an audible voice from the Lord Jesus Christ. These people heard an audible voice. Countless multitudes heard an audible voice. Millions throughout history have heard the words of God repeated faithfully to them. But his voice is a voice that carries with it a power. Just as when he said to this man who was there in the temple, just as he said to that man, rise, take up your bed and walk. What happened? The man rose. The man took up his bed and the man walked. Just as he did to the nobleman in the previous chapter, he said, your son lives. And that man, without seeing any evidence whatsoever, just hearing a word from God, his words are powerful. In verse 25, his words will raise the dead. In verse... Sorry, in verse 28, there'll come a time when he'll speak from heaven and everyone, every grave on this earth will be emptied. That's how big and how glorious the Lord Jesus Christ. And he speaks, he's not speaking words to bring their condemnation. He's speaking words to expose it. He's speaking words to expose himself. Look what he says in verse 34 of this John chapter 5. He says, but I receive not the testimony of men, but these things I say that you might be saved. These things I say that you might be saved. With his words comes life. With his words comes power. The gospel, the declaration of the Lord Jesus Christ, is the power of God unto salvation. He... Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that hears my word, he that hears, hears and keeps on hearing is what it means in the original. He that hears and continues to hear. He that hears my word and believeth on him that sent me has everlasting life. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ comes by hearing. That's the promise of God. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ comes from hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no true saving faith where there is a false gospel. There's no word from God where there is a false gospel. The true word of God comes and gives life where the true word of God is revealed. Faith comes by hearing. You read about it in Romans chapter 10. And hearing is the means that God uses. It's through the ear door that salvation comes to people. It's through the door of our ears that we hear the word of God. And there's a specific reason that God has chosen that rather than miracles and all sorts of other evidence that people look for. Because in hearing, you are passive. In hearing, you are passive. And in hearing, it's not a work. It's not a work that you can do. You can't boast that you've heard. No one here can stand up and say, well, I've heard and no one else has heard. You've all heard, haven't you? We hear. We hear. We are passive in hearing. And it's a work to which we can claim no merit whatsoever. No merit. So it comes. It comes as a word from God. We are passive and God is active in this business of salvation. As I said earlier, as you know, these men heard these words, and all of the testimony that we have in the rest of the scriptures is that almost none of them, none of these particular people heard and believed. Most of these Pharisees, the Lord Jesus Christ said, will die in their sins. God's hearing that he speaks of here is the particular hearing that he brings to particular people to have everlasting life. In John 8:47, he says, he that is of God, he who that word of means origin, he who has an origin from God, hears God's word. And then he says to them, you therefore hear them not because you are not of God. God's children hear. The children who are not children of God don't hear. He says in John 8:43, he says, why do you not understand what I'm saying? Why don't you understand my speech? Even because you cannot hear my word. It makes me want to pray again and again to God, like Samuel did when God spoke to him in the temple as that little boy. Lord, speak. Lord, speak. As the Shulamite at the end of Song of Solomon says, cause me to hear your voice. Cause me to hear. I want to hear what you say. I want to hear that you say. So what's the difference between hearing an audible word and hearing a word that brings life, brings no condemnation? The first, I've got about 8 points that I want to make here, and I'll be making them necessarily briefly, but I'd like you to go away and ponder them. What's the difference between hearing and hearing from God and hearing and not hearing from God? Well, the first thing I want to say is that when you hear his word, it's not something about which you can have an opinion. When God speaks, he speaks in an unmistakable way to his people. No one ever spoke like this man. No one ever spoke like this man. First and secondly, when you hear from God, you'll hear that it speaks of him. It's always, if you're going to hear from God, it's always going to speak of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it'll speak in such a way that you will, like the disciples, when that multitude who heard and saw the most remarkable things in John chapter 6 went away, if you hear from God, you will have the statement in your hearts that the disciples had. Who shall we go? Listen to what they say in John 6:68. To whom shall we go? To whom shall we go? There is no other whom to go to in all the world. Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So you'll hear when it's an unmistakable voice, when it's a voice that's like no other voice, and it's a voice that speaks of him, and it speaks of him exclusively. And you'll hear when you hear as a sinner. You will hear when you hear as a sinner. You will hear when you hear as someone who is needy of mercy. The previous chapter, you read the story at the end of the previous chapter. That man was pleading with the Lord Jesus Christ, come, it's only a 25-kilometre walk. It's over hill and dale. Come with me quickly. You've got to come down because my son will live. And the Lord spoke a word to that man. He says, your son's alive. And he had no more pleading. He had no more requests of God.
And he rested. He rested and slept that night on his way home to see his son. He just believed he hears the word from God. You'll be, when you hear, you'll be here, you'll hear as someone who is needy. You'll hear as someone who is a sinner. Job heard God speak to him. And what was Job's response? Behold, I am vile. When God speaks, you will know that's God speaking, and you'll know who he is, you'll know who you are. And when God speaks, you'll never need to go beyond his word to seek confirmation for what he said. You won't need the opinions and all of the other things that men might bring to you. You won't need any other evidence. His word is sufficient evidence. How much of God's word do you have to believe to be a believer? All of it. You read Paul's testimony in Acts chapter 24. He's believing all things that are written. It doesn't say you understand it all. You believe it. The man whose son was healed miraculously, he didn't have a clue what happened. He couldn't see it. He had no evidence. But he believed because God had spoken. They shall all be taught of God, says our God. I love that verse in Scripture. They'll all be taught of God, and great shall be the peace of his people. You'll hear his word when it comes and it works effectually. Let me read a wonderful verse of 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. And listen to what he goes on to say, which worketh, effectually worketh also in you that believe. It works effectually in you that believe. So you'll hear the word of God when it's not an opinion. You'll hear the word of God when it's an unmistakable verse. You'll hear the word of God when it comes from the scriptures. It comes from the I say unto you from the scriptures. You'll hear the word of God when you're shut up to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have nowhere else to go. You'll hear the word of God when it comes to you as complete truth. You'll hear the word of God when it comes to you as a sinner, as someone who's a mercy beggar. You'll hear the word of God when it comes to you with its own power, and you'll hear the word of God when it necessarily reveals everything else that people hold on to is absolutely false and a lie. When you hear the word, you'll hear the truth, and therefore the truth will expose all the error, just as he who was the truth and is the word of God was standing before these people, and he exposed them for what they were, and no one else, even themselves, didn't know what was in their hearts. But the Lord Jesus Christ, when his word comes, when the word comes, it speaks, but always there's something that accompanies the word of God every time. And it's in our verse in John 5:24, and believeth on him that sent me. Believes and keeps on believing. If you're going to hear, you're going to hear and believe on God the Father. You're going to believe that he sent his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And if he sent his son, you're going to believe everything that he said he was sending his son for. Simon has spoken to you about that eternal covenant, the covenant of love, the covenant of grace, and it's the covenant in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. God sent him from heaven. He existed in heaven before he was sent, but he was sent here with a particular and specific purpose into this world. You will call his name Jesus, they were told, weren't they? You'll call his name Jesus. Why? For he will save his people from their sins. He cannot fail. He cannot be discouraged, Isaiah 42 says. He will. Did he save all of his people from their sins? Well, he says he did. So if you believe the one who sent him, you'll believe the mission on what he sent. You'll believe why he came. you'll believe that everything that God the Son did was in accordance with all of the divine characteristics of God, that he's absolutely sovereign over all things, he's absolutely holy, he's absolutely righteous in all he does. Listen to what the Lord prayed for his apostles and prayed for us. He says in John 17 verse 8, if you want to know the purpose of God, you go and read John chapter 17. It's as clear as it could ever wish to be. When he died on the cross, he said, it's finished. All of these petitions. He says in John 17, 8, for I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me, and they have received them. To receive them is to believe them. And listen to what he goes on to say, and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. To know surely, they've known surely. That means to know in truth in the original. Know surely that the Lord Jesus Christ came from God the Father. To know surely that everything that he came to do, everything that he came to do, to bring his people into everlasting life. You'll see one of those words of Christ is down there in John chapter 5, verse 29. Just look at it with me. And they shall come forth. When they'll hear his voice on that day before the great day of judgment. They'll hear his voice. They that have done good. They that have done good unto the resurrection of life. Doing good starts with hearing, but doing good believes. Doing good believes. Believes what God has said. It's God the Father who sent his Son. One of the things that annoys me so much, and it's so common these days, is that people pray to Jesus all the time and that people talk about God. God the Father gave him his titles. He's exalted him. He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ brings all of his people into the presence of God the Father. I think he is dishonoured by people who don't give him his titles. I'm not saying there isn't a remarkable familiarity with him, but we are talking about God who is infinitely holy here. So doing good is believing. And it's God the Father who has given a record. God the Father has given a testimony of his Son. He said in 1 John 5:11, he says, this is a testimony, this is the record that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. But he says, he that believeth on the Son of God has this witness in himself. The Word has come and dwelt in amongst them powerfully. He has his witness. He that believeth not God has made him a liar. You can't make God a liar. You're saying that God doesn't tell the truth because he believes not the record that God has given of his Son. God gave a record of his Son. That record's written down here in this book, brothers and sisters in Christ. They hear. God's very character, God's honour is tied up with what he says. What he sent his Son to do and the accomplishments of that. Blessed are the people that know the joyful sound. The joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. Why don't we stop, have a cup of coffee, have a break, and we'll come back and look at the blessings that come from hearing and believing the very words of God.